Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who's going to take care of me when I get older? How am I going to pay for it? Where am I going to stay? How do I choose wisely? How do I pick the right place for myself or my mom or my grandma or my Aunt Tilly? Who's going to take care of them? Where's the money going to come from? All of the issues of aging. Good, glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, for 19 years here on KFBK, the longest running show of its kind in California, if not the United States, on the issues of aging. Lots of stuff to talk about today. Upcoming workshop, new book, State of California suing a family in Fresno for $135,000. Another case where they're going after a family for $300,000. They're still at it. Lots to talk about. A couple things we got to get out of the way first. Have to do this every week. Have to do it without fail. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one who knows what they're doing. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request and direction. I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be, and everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. It's just my opinion. It's a good opinion, but it's my opinion. Let me give you my contact information. If you want to get a hold of me, you want to talk to me about any of the issues of aging, the easiest way for you to get a hold of me here in Sacramento is call my number right here in Sacramento, which is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. And when you go to my website, you can listen to my past radio shows, you can listen to my podcasts, you can ask me a question, you can get information, you can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have one coming up on Saturday, June the 3rd, which you will not want to miss. look for my ads in the B this coming week, and also right here on this radio show and on my upcoming podcast. Every Wednesday, I do a live podcast on a different subject, and you can listen to that podcast on my website. Lots of places to get information if you're dealing with the issues of aging, of frail, a member of your family, someone getting older, someone that has dementia or is becoming forgetful, all the things that happen to us as we get older. Okay, where do I want to start? Let me start with an article, and then I want to talk about my upcoming workshop, and I want to talk a little bit about a new book that's out. But this is an article from, where is this article from? LA Times. And I suggest you read it. From the LA Times, 5/18/17 is when I downloaded this. And the title of the article is I'm 55, I'm healthy, and I'm articulate, and I have Alzheimer's disease. Early onset Alzheimer's is becoming more common. No one knows exactly why it's becoming more common. But this is a wonderful article about a man who's 55 years old who has early onset Alzheimer's. He was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in May of 2016, so about a year ago, which means he's now 56. And I'm sure since the article was written, I mean, since he was diagnosed, he's become it's become more problematic for him, and it's going to continue to be problematic for him. This is a man that lives in, I forget, he's not, the article was in the LA Times, but I think he lives in North Carolina. He lives there with his fiance and with two daughters and some dogs and his family. And now his family, at age 55, is dealing with Alzheimer's. Some of you have had to deal with people with Alzheimer's. We normally think of Alzheimer's as only happening to old people. It doesn't. The earliest I know of it is age 36, early onset dementia or Alzheimer's. But it's only one of about eight, depending on what list you look read from, 8 or 10 different kinds of dementia. And it really doesn't matter what you call it. It's still dementia, and it's still going to rob people of their ability to function in a normal, natural, productive way. This man's dementia, this man's Alzheimer's will get worse. The day will come when he will not know his family, he will not know where he lives, he will not be able to live alone, he will not be functional in a lot of ways. That day could come a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now. The average time between the diagnosis of Alzheimer's and death is about 8 years. Notice I said diagnosis. Now, in this man's case, he could easily go another 15 or 20 years because it's early onset, and have the disease last a long, long time. One of the things I want to talk about today is a phrase that I hear often. And that phrase is a little dementia. Tell me how your dad is. Well, dad has a little dementia. How's your spouse? Well, my spouse has a little dementia. There's no such thing as a little dementia. Like, there's no such thing as a little liver disease or a little heart disease or a little cancer or a little lymphoma or a little you either have it or you don't have it. And people who have dementia are going to get worse. As sure as I'm sitting here, they're going to get worse. If there's someone in your family that you know has dementia, whether it's vascular dementia or Lewy body dementia or dementia associated with chemotherapy or one of the other kinds of dementia, they're going to get worse. And dementia comes with its own set of horrors. And the biggest horror, H-O-R-R-O-R, horror, is that person physically may still be very active. And that person may be able to walk around, go outside, enjoy the sunshine, and not know where they are. That person is still capable of getting into all kinds of trouble. Before I got ready to record this show, I got a phone call from someone who I've known for a while, who is having to put their mother-in-law in a nursing home. And there's three children, and two of the children agree that it's time for mom, for her own safety, to go to a nursing home. The other child, as is quite common, is opposed to it, because they don't think mom's ready. Mom can't take care of herself. Mom can't control her bladder. Mom can't live at home alone anymore. Mom has got a whole bunch of physiological problems in addition to dementia. And they're struggling with what to do. And I want to talk about this in an honest, real way, because I am confronted and see dementia many, many times a week. Not a month, a week. It happens all the time. There's a dementia associated with Parkinson's. There's dementia, it happens with all, there's all kinds of things that happen that cause someone to lose their cognitive ability, while at the same time being physically active. And I want to talk about what that means for families. One of the things that it means for families is families need to stop talking about themselves. So in this case, one of the children feels really bad and doesn't, you know, wants to believe it's not what it is. At the end of the day, with someone who has dementia, I'm not a doctor, this is my opinion only, but it's an opinion based on 25 years plus of observation, is that we have to look realistically at the person with dementia. We have to be concerned, more concerned about their safety than our guilt. There's no easy way to say this. We all feel guilty, we all feel bad when mom has to go to a nursing home, or mom has to go to a memory care unit, or mom or dad, it could be whoever, can't live alone anymore. We all feel really, really, really bad about that. We're very upset about that. It doesn't change the fact that that person is going to get worse, could get a lot worse, and could get worse in a hurry. Every day, and I shouldn't say every day, regularly, I am confronted with people who have stayed home too long. Home is not always the best place to be for someone with dementia. I know that's hard to hear, but it is not always the best place to be. I got a phone call the other day from someone who has a spouse with dementia. That spouse is about to undergo surgery. I can almost guarantee you that after the surgery, their dementia will be worse. And the family's going to have to make a whole lot of choices that they don't have to make today, but they're going to have to make after the surgery. Number one, someone with dementia doesn't recover the same way. They don't understand recovery. They don't understand why they hurt. They don't understand why they can't walk. They're not capable of understanding the things that you and I understand as we heal. Almost certainly, this person's dementia will get worse. The spouse is older. So now we're confronted with a living situation of where one spouse was taking care of the other spouse with dementia. Now we're going to have a recovering dementia patient whose dementia is probably going to get worse. Do you begin to understand the number of questions that that begins to raise? And one of the things I'm really, 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 really good at is asking questions. I don't always have answers, but I have questions. Who's going to take care of the ill spouse? What's going to happen with the well spouse gets sick trying to take care of the ill spouse? Is the family going to be involved? Who are the family paying attention to? Are they paying attention to the spouse with dementia? Or are they paying attention to the well spouse who's likely to become more frail taking care of the ill spouse? It raises a lot of questions. What happens if the well spouse dies first? What happens if the well spouse injures himself or herself trying to take care of the ill spouse? There's a lot of questions that are attendant to the issue of dementia that nobody asks and confronts. And one of the things I've been doing for 25 years is confronting those things. My workshop on June the 3rd. If you're dealing with someone with a little dementia or a little frailty, you should be there. It's going to be at the Crowne Plaza Hotel, Saturday, June the 3rd. It's free. It will start at 10 a.m. If you would like tickets, call me. I'll mail them to you. My phone number is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up there. If you continue to ignore the dementia, you are dancing with fire. It is not going to get better. It can get a lot worse. And in most cases, in fact, in about one-third of the cases, the well spouse dies first trying to take care of the ill spouse. There's no such thing as a little dementia. There never has been. There never will be. So the question always is, how is your family going to handle it? Are the right documents in place? They are? Are you sure? Do they only deal with the avoidance of probate, or do they deal with living issues and frailty issues? You have to answer that for yourself. You have to look at them. You have to know. You can't say, well, I'm pretty sure they do. When it comes to dealing with dementia, pretty sure isn't a good enough answer. I ask children all the time who come to me and they're dealing with a parent or a loved one that has dementia, and I'll say, well, are there documents? Yeah, what do they say? Well, we don't know. Mom and Dad never shared that stuff with us. Well, you have to know. Do you know? If you're a child that's going to be responsible for taking care of a demented parent or loved one, do you know? Do you know where the bank accounts are? Because you're going to be paying the bills. Do you know where the money is? Do you know if Mom has stocks or bonds or Dad has a pension plan? Who can deal with all of that stuff if they can't? If they're not able to make their own medical decisions, who can? What are they allowed to do? What are they not allowed to do? Who's allowed to pick the facility that Mom and Dad might be in when they have dementia? Who can sign a contract? What about arbitration agreements? What about who's going to be the designated payee on the veterans benefits or the Social Security if Mom has dementia or Dad has dementia and can't remember what planet they live on? Who can rent out the house? If Mom moves into a nursing home or into assisted living and we need the money and to help pay the bills, who's authorized to rent the house? Who's authorized to sell the house if we need the money? Who's authorized to apply for government benefits? All of those questions are going to be faced by a family dealing with someone with dementia. They're not fun questions. They're hard questions. And if you don't have the answer to them, it's going to get worse. Because the day will come when that person is not able to take care of themselves, and the decision has to be made well in advance. Who's going to take care of them? How are we going to pay for it? And are we empowered to do so? Again, if you don't have the answers to that, you're playing with fire. Who's going to take Mom's car keys away from her? Who's going to tell Dad he can't drive anymore? Who's then going to be empowered to sell the car? Because we don't want to pay insurance on the car anymore. I can go on and on and on with my list. In fact, at the workshop, one of the sheets I hand out is a sheet that's the ambulance is on the way. What do we do now? And it's a list of all the decisions you're going to be faced with when that person doesn't come home and winds up in a care facility or even receiving home care, but not able to manage their own affairs and make their decision. And the list takes up an entire page. It's an entire page. If you're dealing with someone who's in the early stages of dementia, have you scouted facilities? Do you know where they would go when they get to the point where they can't take care of themselves? Have you talked to care agencies that might come into the house? How much do they cost? Who's authorized to hire them? The goal of all of this is to make you slightly uncomfortable. And the reason for that is because when it happens, when it finally happens and everybody in the family wakes up and goes, oh my gosh, what's happening here? By then, it's quite often too late to do the things that we want to do. And so now, rather than it being planned out, we're doing it in a panic because all of a sudden Mom has wandered off and the police have brought her home because she was three blocks away knocking on somebody's door. Or she got in the car and drove to Arizona and nobody knew where she was. Or she got in the car and drove to the grocery store and can't find her way home and the police have been called. It happens on a daily basis everywhere in the United States, including in your neighborhood and maybe in your home as I'm sitting here talking. Dementia is a real issue. And as we live longer, more and more of us. It is estimated that half of all people over 85 have some form of dementia. Stop and think about that for a minute. And 85 is not unusual anymore, is it? When I was growing up, there weren't that many 85 and 90-year-olds that I knew. Now you all know somebody that's 85. Your parents are 85. Your grandparents are 85. Stop and think about that for a minute. Half of all people over age 85 have some form of dementia. By age 85, our brain has shrunk by an inch. Dementia is a reality of our lives now. And we can pretend that it doesn't exist. We can pretend that it's not going to happen to us or our families, but we do so at our own peril. Well, Bob, you're being very blunt, and you know, I don't like this conversation. I don't like hearing about this stuff. That's fine. Then don't listen. You'll be the one that comes to me in a panic when it happens to you or your mom or your dad or your spouse or your grammy or your grampy or your favorite aunt. You'll be the one looking for a facility in the middle of the night when the police bring mom home and say, what's going on here? It happens all the time. It is not uncommon. You all know somebody with dementia. Every single one of you listening to me now knows or has known somebody with dementia. Many of you have known 3 or 4 or 5 people with dementia. It's a fact of life because as a generation, as a people, we are living longer. And many of us are going to live part of our lives with dementia. As much as we don't want it, as much as we pretend it's not going to happen, as much as we believe it's not going to happen in our family, it is happening in our families, and it's happening in your family. And at what point do you begin to take it seriously and deal with it? If this is going on in your family now, get to the workshop. Get to my office. The appointment is free. Develop a plan that makes sure that mom or dad or whoever it is going to be taken care of in the most gentle way possible, but taken care of. Make sure you've figured out the finances. Make sure you know who's going to be making decisions. If you're listening to me and you're 65 years old and you're going, well, I don't have dementia now. If you live to 85, there's a 50-50 chance you're going to have dementia. So have you picked who you want taking care of you? And has it changed since you picked that person 10 years ago? Lots of married couples are planning on taking care of each other. What happens if your spouse dies and then you develop dementia? Now who's going to take care of you? Are you going to move in with your daughter? Are you going to move in with your son? Are you going to move in with your grandchild? What's the plan? There's only one way to deal with this, and that's beginning to deal with it realistically and immediately. If you're dealing with dementia in your family today, please stop waiting for it to get better. It's not going to get better. There are no cures on the horizon. Nothing. And it's going to get worse. And it could get a lot worse. So please agree to sit down as a family and have an open discussion about this. I see people in my office all the time who everybody is looking at, and I can sit there and I can tell that they're not thinking clearly. Who do you know in your family that just isn't thinking clearly? Call it whatever you want to call it. Nobody likes to call it Alzheimer's. Okay, well, my dad doesn't have Alzheimer's. He's just got a little dementia. It's the same. At the end is the same, folks. It's going to get worse. So during the break, go pick up the phone. Call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Get to the workshop on the 3rd of June. Get in to see me. The consultations are free. Bring the family. But I guess after 25 years, I've just heard it so many times that it's not going to happen to me, but it's happening to somebody, and it's probably happening in your family. So look around in your head and think about who it's happening to, and then ask yourself, what am I doing to make a difference in that person's life? What specific actions am I taking to make a difference in that person's life and make sure that they're going to be taken care of for the rest of their life? And we've made all those decisions before we needed to. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Get in to see me. Sign up for the workshop. But begin to take action and begin to do something and solve the problem today. I'll be back here in just a couple minutes right after the break, and then I want to talk about a new book that's out. Don't go away. See you in a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we take care of mom and dad, ourselves, grandma and grandpa? I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad to have you with us. Remember, my contact information, my phone number is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or assetsandaging.com. 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 Okay, I want to talk about a new book that's out. First half of the hour, we talked about dementia. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the show the first half hour, you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and my radio shows are archived there, and you can listen to this show on my website. So, assetsandaging.com. I want to talk about a new book that's out. It's a great book. It may be the best book ever written on the issues of aging. I say that tongue-in-cheek, and the reason why is because it's my book. I've been working on it for a year, and it's now out. Right now, it's only available electronically, either for Nook or Kindle or PDF. You can order the book. It's $15. You can order it at my website, assetsandaging.com. There's a link there. But I want to talk about my book a little bit because I think it's the answer to a lot of people's questions. When the book was first conceived, and we started it over a year ago. Boy, it took longer than we thought it was going to take because we wanted to do it right. The one thing I insisted on as we began to write it with the assistance of some folks was I did not want it to be a technical manual. I did not want it to be on Medi-Cal rules and regulations, VA rules and regulations, you know, all that kind of stuff. I wanted it to be something that people could read and it would make sense to them. So one of the things I like about my book is that it's not a technical manual. You can read it, learn from it, get information that is helpful and useful and will make a difference in your life and your family's life. The name of the book, and I love the name of the book, by the way, is Navigating Frailty. It took three or four of us about a month to come up with that name. Because, you know, there's all kinds of names you can name something, and we both like that. All of us like that, I mean. Navigating frailty. Because navigating through all of this is the right word. And the right word is not old age or dementia or illness. It's becoming more frail as we get older. We can't do the things that we used to be able to do. We can't think the way we used to be able to think. Our hands lose dexterity. We lose our sense of taste and smell. Our eyesight goes bad. Our ability to perceive color changes. Our ability to taste changes. We don't produce as much saliva, so it's a little harder to eat food and digest it. We can't run it. We can't run anymore. We're subject to falls. So frailty is the perfect word, and I've been talking about frailty for the all the years I've been doing this and all the years I've been on the radio. So Navigating Frailty, and the subtitle is A Family Guide to Aging with Dignity, Security, and Independence. The book is intended to help guide you through the questions that arise as we get older. And I'll be talking about this book at the workshop. Again, if you haven't been to one of my workshops, you need to get to my workshop on June the 3rd. It's here in Sacramento at 10 a.m. at the Crown Plaza. In order to make reservations and get a ticket, you just need to call my phone number, 800-999-8007, or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and there's a place there where you can sign up. Let me read you the index from the book. The book starts out with five chapters, all of which are amalgams of true stories. They're all things that have actually happened to people in my 25 years of doing this. Obviously, we've changed the names to protect the innocent and all that kind of stuff. But they're basically true stories. We've changed the settings, we've changed the people, we've changed the names, but they're all circumstances that happened. And there's five of them. And they're different stories of dealing with married people, single people, people with kids, people without kids, assisted living issues, nursing home issues, Medi-Cal issues, all the stuff that comes up. How do we protect what we have that happened to all of us as we get older in life? And the title of the five chapters, I'll just tantalize you with the titles, All Too Common. The second chapter is called A Shining Example. The third chapter is called Caregiving Out of Pocket. The fourth chapter is called Independent to a Fault. And the fifth chapter is called That Will Be That. In addition to the five major chapters, I have written what I call Down in the Basement, which are 25 mini chapters. And let me go through the mini chapters and see which of these, as I go through these, you'd go, I'd like to know more about that. I'd like to know more about that. I want to know more about that. Well, it's all available online. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can order the book. The first mini chapter is called Age, the Unrelenting Enemy. And it's unrelenting. You are going to get older. You are going to become more frail. It is going to become harder for you to function. For many of you, it will mean dementia or memory issues. For many of you, it will be physiological. For some of you, it will be both. But age, the unrelenting enemy. The second mini chapter is called Holding a Family Conference. I have talked for years on this show about the importance of families understanding what's going on. It's really, really important. Children, don't let your parents off the hook. You have to know what's going on in their life because you're probably the ones that are going to make the decisions. Parents, you have to tell your children what's going on. Otherwise, you're going to be taken care of by a stranger. The third mini chapter is called Documents, Who's in Control? When someone comes into my office and they say, you know, we're really worried about Dad, and Dad's got this, Dad's that, Dad's got a little dementia, or whatever it is, the first question out of my mouth is, does Dad know who he is? If Dad knows who he is, then I don't care about documents. But what if Dad, the answer is, no, Dad doesn't know what planet he lives on? Then it's going to be all about the documents. So documents, who's in control, is the third little mini chapter. The fourth one is called Assessing the Care Needs of an Aging Loved One. What do they need? Do they just need help with cleaning the house? Do they need help with personal hygiene? Do they need help having someone drive them to the grocery store because they can't drive anymore? What are their actual care needs? How do we best help them? The little fifth mini chapter is called Annuities, a Short Story. And the short version is, be really careful. If somebody tells you they're going to want to sell you a Medi-Cal approved annuity, run screaming into the night. There's no such thing. The sixth one is Medi-Cal Recovery, Don't Be a Victim. I think I told you right now, I left it at my office or I could give you the court case number in Fresno County. The state is suing a family for $135,000 over the stay in a nursing home after the parent died. The seventh chapter is called The Questions of In-Home Caregiving. Is staying at home the right thing to do? How are we going to pay for it? How do we pick a caregiver? How much help does mom need at home? Does mom need more help than we can give her at home? The eighth little mini chapter is called Medi-Cal versus Medicare. What are they? What are the differences? Is there a difference? I don't know. We're going to talk about it in that chapter. The ninth little subchapter is called Sundowning. Do you know what sundowning is? I'm not going to tell you. Some of you know what it is. Some of you are dealing with someone with dementia right now who suffers from sundowning. I gave you a little hint. The 10th little mini chapter is on recognizing a stroke. How do you know if somebody's having a stroke? There's actually a way that you might be able to tell. Not medically, but give you a hint. 11th little mini chapter is identifying mental decline. And this will give you some hints and actually some links to some simple tests that are designed for lay people to determine if mom or dad or whoever is beginning to fail mentally. 12th little mini chapter is called Preparing for Long-Term Care. How do we plan for the eventuality of needing a facility of long-term care? 13th mini chapter, by the way, I call the little mini chapters down in the basement, is what are the types of dementia? What are they? There's more than one. Everybody thinks Alzheimer's. That's only one kind of dementia. What are some of the others? The 14th little mini chapter is called Life Care Contracts. You're taking care of a parent. You're getting paid. Do you have a contract that says you're entitled to get paid? You're taking care of grandma and every month she gives you her Social Security check. Do you have a contract that says you're allowed to do that? You don't? Why not? You may be risking elder financial abuse. 15th little mini chapter is finding quality care facilities. How do you decide on a facility? How do you know if it's good or bad or great? Or I wouldn't put anybody in there. And there's all of the above. 16th is the plight of the caregiver. Everybody pays attention to the ill spouse. How do we pay attention and how do we offer support to the well spouse? How do you do that? Or the daughter, or whoever the caregiver is. 17th is a little mini chapter is asset management, accumulation versus retention. Do you understand how to retain assets to pay for care? Do you understand the difference between accumulation and retention? The 18th chapter, a mini chapter, is the average nursing home stay. The 19th chapter is the reality of elder abuse. The 20th little mini chapter is the VA. Are there VA benefits that might help pay for care? If so, what are they? How do I get them? Where do I go? I don't know. That's what that chapter is about. The 21st little one, a mini chapter, is imperative for every senior to know. Every senior is the difference in a hospital between admission and observation. It's really, really important that you understand the difference and that your children understand the difference. I can't tell you how important those two things are. The 18th little mini chapter, the 22nd little mini chapter is LGBT issues. The LGBT community has its own special sets of problems and questions and issues. The 23rd mini chapter is Know Your Rights in a Care Facility. What rights do you have? Do you know what they are? Do you have the right to visitors? Do you have the right to go out? Do you have the right to be taken out to lunch? Do you have the right to pick a doctor? Do you have the, what rights do you have in a care facility? It's important to know. The 24th little mini chapter is the issue of IRAs. IRAs are interesting because they're treated differently by Medi-Cal and by the VA. And that misunderstanding sometimes costs people lots and lots and lots of money. Understanding IRAs when it comes to government benefits is a really, really important issue. It makes a big difference if you're married or single, how IRAs get treated if we're dealing with Medi-Cal or with the VA. And the 25th little mini chapter is important. And I call it, if you know Eisenhower, you'll know where this comes from. I stole it from him. The Elder Care Industrial Complex, a letter from the author, that's me. The Elder Care Industrial Complex is real. It's how people work in collusion with each other in the elder care industry to all make money off of each other and off of the senior, and never quite understanding when you're the family, how it all works, from hospital discharge planners to placement agencies to assisted living to all kinds of things and how they work together and how they, the elder care industrial complex, that's all I'm going to tell you. And then there's a glossary of terms. It's fairly extensive. And then there are links and to resources and websites and government agencies. And then there's a little something in there about me, and then, of course, the normal acknowledgments and forwards and all that. I work to make the book understandable. Again, it's not meant as a technical journal. If you want more information, you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com. You can scroll down and you'll find the link to the book, and you can buy it and download it. It's available for Kindle, for Nook, or as a PDF, which means you can read it on a computer or whatever. The book is $15. I've tried to price it right so that it's available to everyone and get it into as many hands as possible. I really like it. It's a labor of love, and it's one. I want to read you one of the things in the acknowledgments. In the acknowledgment, I acknowledged my family and people that helped me with the book and all that. But I want to read you the last line in the acknowledgment in the book. And most of all, to my people, the seniors and their families who have endured, overcome, and triumphed despite a society that neglects, manipulates, and steals from the frail and infirm. I love the people I work with. It's why I'm still doing it. People ask me all the time, Bob, you're almost 72 years old. How come you haven't retired? Because I really like what I do. I like the people I work with. I know that I'm helpful to them. I know that the information I bring is helpful to them. I know the people that I refer them out, whether it's CPAs who understand long-term care tax implications, VA specialists, attorneys, brokers, whoever I refer them out to will take care of them. I like being able to answer people's questions about how am I going to take care of mom? We're all so afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. Or listening to that individual senior themselves who is scared to death, who's aware of the fact that they're becoming more frail, and just doesn't know where to go and get answers or get help or get someone, quite frankly, who will tell them the truth about what the future holds and where they're going and what the answers are. I like what I do. I hope you will take seriously my admonition to begin to develop a plan so that you can take care of the people that you love. I don't know if it's a spouse or your parents or your grandparents, but the hardest cases I deal with are people who have lost everything. They've lost their money. In some cases, they've lost their home. In some cases, they've taken somebody's advice and gotten a divorce. There are actually still people out there who've said you should go get a divorce. People have been told they have to lose their house. People have been told they can't keep anything. People have been told there's a 5-year look back. There's a 3-year look back. You can't transfer anything. You should transfer everything to your kids. There's nothing you can do. All the things that people have been told that at the end of the day causes them to lose everything. I've had probably 6 or 7 clients in my career spending over $30,000 a month on a nursing home because that person was on a ventilator, or $15,000 a month because they're trached, or $10,000 or $12,000 a month because they're on a feeding tube. It doesn't take long at those kinds of prices before, you know, Everett Dirksen, who was a senator, you have to be my age to remember Everett Dirksen. But Everett Dirksen used to have a saying, which was, a billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking real money. Well, a billion now is nothing anymore. This was 40 years ago, at least. So, you know, $100,000 here a year, $150,000 there a year, and pretty soon for care, we're talking real money. You worked a long, hard time to get what you have. At the end of life, you shouldn't have to flush it all, because at the end of life, you had the wrong disease. You know, if you have cancer, Medicare will pay for it. If you have a heart attack, Medicare will pay for it. If you have a stroke, Medicare will pay for it. If you have, you know, skin cancer, Medicare will pay for it. But if you have frailty, if you can't walk anymore, if you have dementia, and you need long-term care, Medicare is not going to pay a nickel. Your health insurance is not going to pay a nickel. The VA does not pay for nursing homes. By the way, if you go into one of the state VA homes, they don't tell you this, but you're subject to recovery after you die. And they're only assisted living. They're not nursing homes. So you worked a really long time, and you worked really hard, and you got up every month, and you took the lunch pail. You have to be my age to know what a lunch pail is, folks. Okay? How many of you, when you were kids, had lunch boxes that you took to school with you that had the Lone Ranger on them or something on the front? We all did. So, you worked hard. You got up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. You took care of your family. You did everything you were told to do. You lived the American dream. And at the end of life, because you have the wrong disease, people lose everything. And that's just wrong. I don't believe people work their entire lives to leave everything to the corporate owners of a nursing home or an assisted living facility, or the corporate owners of a home care agency. I don't believe that's what people work their entire lives for. Maybe. I believe what most people work their entire lives for was to take care of themselves in their old age and have something left as a legacy to their children and grandchildren. If that's you, and you want to make sure that at the end of life, you don't lose everything, then you need to do one of two things. Get to my workshop on June the 3rd, 10 a.m., Crown Plaza Hotel here in Sacramento. If you would like a ticket, all you have to do is call my phone number, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, and sign up for my workshop on June the 3rd. Or, if it's more pressing, get in to see me. The consultation is free. Again, you can request an appointment online, or you can simply call my toll-free number. I'm here in Sacramento, but I have a toll-free number, 800-999-8007. I've been saying this for 19 years on the radio and the 25 years I've been doing this. No one, and I mean no one, needs to lose everything just because at the end of life they had the wrong disease. Because the government has determined and insurance companies have determined what diseases they'll pay for and what diseases they won't pay for. And generally speaking, long-term care is not included in that. Give me a call today, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and begin to make a difference in your family's life. Buy the book. You can do that online. My book, Navigating Frailty. Get to the workshop. Come in and see me. And just keep listening to the radio shows. I want to thank all of you for listening for all these years. I appreciate you all. I love what I do. And I hope to see you soon. We'll see you here again next week, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future.